So we're going to call Section 3, Number 1, Case 2575, regarding Ariel Maltese DVM. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Maltese in Case Number 2575. This matter will be heard by the Board pursuant to the authority given to it, ARS 322234. But Dr. Maltese, please introduce yourself.
Hi, I'm Dr. Maltese.
And counsel?
Please overcome me on Dr. Maltese.
Thank you so much. Dr. Maltese, you have received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to formal hearing. You can go ahead and see. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
Okay. I just have an opening statement, if that's okay.
Okay, we'll do that in just a minute.
Okay. Yep.
This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned in this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. If present, the complainant would also be given the opportunity to address the board. If you have any other questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through me. So Dr. Nosley, could you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes. At the December 11th, 2024, Arizona Veterinary Medical Examining Board meeting, the board opened an investigating regarding the respondent's conduct with respect to the care and treatment of Zach, a 14-year-old male, large, mixed-breed dog. After reviewing case 24129 in regards to Tony Barnes' DVM, the board expressed concerns with the care and treatment provided to the dog when presented to the respondent on December 8, 2021 for splenic mass removal. No further diagnostics were offered or provided to confirm a splenic mass prior to surgery as Dr. Barnes had suspected.
Okay, thank you. Dr. Maltese, at this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you. We would now like to give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
Thank you. Good morning. I would like to begin by thanking the board for your time and attention to this matter. Zach's case was initially brought to my attention by Dr. Barnes. Dr. Barnes and I met in person, where she provided me with a case summary prior to the scheduled splenectomy. She confidently informed me that she had diagnosed Zach with a large splenic mass and had scheduled him for a splenectomy with me. Dr. Barnes also advised that she had completed all necessary diagnostic workup. When I inquired whether there was anything further that I needed to know, she confirmed that all pertinent information had been conveyed and that the procedure was scheduled for December 8th. Based on Dr. Barnes's direct statement, the estimate she prepared and presented to the owner, and the surgery appointment that she scheduled, it was clear to me that Zach was scheduled for a splenectomy surgery and not a second opinion. Following this, I reviewed the medical records prior to surgery and communicated with the owner regarding the procedure. The owners were notified of the estimate, the surgical process, associated risks, and the additional radiographs that would be billed for, which the owner consented to. An abdominal ultrasound was not offered due to several limiting factors. First, I had not yet been trained in ultrasonography and therefore did not provide that service. Although Dr. Barnes did have ultrasound training, referring the dog back to her would have required cancellation of the scheduled surgery. Second, the ultrasound equipment available at our facility was outdated and primarily only used for cystocentesis and assessing for free fluid. It lacked resolution necessary to reliably detect intra-abdominal masses, as well as differentiate between organs such as the liver and the spleen. Third, Flagstaff does not have a local board certified internal medicine specialist or a radiologist, so coordinating referral to Phoenix would have created significant logistical and financial burden to the owner, including canceling the surgery and arranging for a new appointment for referral. Given these considerations, I proceeded with an abdominal exploratory laparotomy, which remains the gold standard for diagnosing and treating a suspected intra-abdominal mass. On the day of surgery, I performed a thorough examination, maintained consistent communication with the owner, and conducted the procedure. Ultimately, the results of the exploratory were negative. Zach tolerated the surgery well and experienced a smooth and uncomplicated recovery. Zach's owner, Claire, later contacted me directly and submitted a statement to the board. In her letter, she apologized that I had, quote, been dragged into this, end quote, and expressed that her family, quote, truly does not hold me accountable, end quote. She further stated, quote, I have written a letter to the vet board telling them that I do not want you to be held accountable for Dr. Barnes's negligence and unprofessionalism. Throughout this process, I have taken the opportunity to reflect and grow professionally, and I am committed to improving my practice. I have even enrolled in an intensive continuing education course in abdominal and thoracic ultrasound with the goal of offering this valuable diagnostic service to my clients in the future. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Now I'd like to ask the board members if they have any questions for Dr. Maltese.
Yes, hi. This communication between you and Dr. Barnes, in your initial narrative to us, in the Barnes case, there was no mention of that communication. In your second narrative to us regarding your case, there was no mention of communication with Dr. Barnes. Dr. Barnes told the investigative committee that she did not have any communication with you regarding Zach's case. I think she told them she was assuming Dr. Seiss.
Dr. Cease.
Cease was going to be doing the surgery. And then during the board's informal with Dr. Barnes, there was never any mention of any communication between you and Dr. Barnes. So this is, for me, when I saw this new information. So can you expound on that meeting, where it took place, what discussion? And then maybe explain to me why that's contraindicated or contradicted by Dr. Barnes.
Yes, absolutely. This meeting took place at Westside Veterinary Clinic in the doctor's office. I was working on medical records. She walked into the office. I was sitting, she was standing. She looked at me and she explained directly what I said in my opening statement. She said that Zach had a very large splenic mass that she saw on radiograph. She was very confident in this. She told me she scheduled a splenectomy. The splenectomy was scheduled on December 8th on my schedule. She didn't typically refer cases to me, so this was a surprise to me. So I asked her if there was anything else that was needed in the case. She said there wasn't. She said she did a full diagnostic workup. Unfortunately, Dr. Barnes hasn't always been honest and forthcoming, and I found quite a few discrepancies in her informal interview. So I think that is going to be where the discrepancy is that you're seeing. The reason I didn't state it in my prior statements was it was a fact that I didn't think needed to be stated until I read her transcript and realized that she had lied about it.
And then your narrative to us, on this case, you didn't state it either. Was that before or after you discovered what was in the informal with Dr. Barnes?
It is stated in the most recent narrative that we had submitted to you.
The one,
there was a couple of attendants.
The one through your attorney?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but not yours directly to us.
Mine, not directly to you. Mm-hmm. I've sent one through my attorney, and I sent an additional addendum after the initial hearing here, because I didn't get access to Dr. Barnes' transcript until after that, and that's where I put Dr. Barnes' misrepresentation section, which is in there.
All right, thank you. Were you aware that the initial visit with Dr. Barnes was not for any symptoms or illness? It was a wellness exam? Were you aware of that?
I was not.
But then when you went over the record and evaluated it, you would have seen that he just came in for a wellness and, I believe, a vaccination or something.
It's very common for a vaccination and wellness exam to turn into a non-routine exam, especially in general practice.
Okay. In your communication with the owner, before the visit, that was on the phone, talked to her, I assume, and where you discussed that you wanted to do some thoracic radiographs. Did you have any discussion with her at that time regarding the diagnosis of a splenic mass?
I don't recall if I discussed specifically splenic mass, but I discussed that we were going to be doing an abdominal exploratory because that's how I do any procedure with a suspect intra-abdominal mass, because that's the gold standard. We just don't go in there and take a mass. We start with a full exploratory, and so I made that clear to the owner,
okay,
as well as potential complications of that surgery.
In your record of the examination, where we list the systems. Under gastrointestinal, the abdomen is evaluated for symmetry, tenderness, fluid allotment, and organ enlargement. And then at the bottom of all the systems, it says, unless noted below, the systemic exam is considered within normal or acceptable limits for breed, sex, and age of patient. Can we assume from that that you did not palpate an enlarged organ or abnormality of any kind on your abdominal palpation?
Yes, I did not palpate a large abdominal mass.
Okay. That was my next question, exactly. Okay. So in your understanding of the need for this exploratory, did you believe Dr. Barnes' diagnosis was based on abdominal palpation or radiographs?
It was based on radiographs because that is directly what she told me and the client as well.
Okay. And were you aware that the radiographs of Dr. Barnes' visit were not submitted to a radiologist?
I was aware after the fact, after reading the transcript, but not at the time was I aware of that.
Okay, so not till after the surgery.
Correct.
Dr. Barnes told the investigative committee that she would have definitely done an abdominal ultrasound prior to surgery. Was that communicated at any time by anyone to you?
No, and I asked her if she had done a full diagnostic workup, and she told me she had, and there were no further diagnostics necessary.
So you had abdominal ultrasound, basically you said used for cysto. Again, we've got a contradiction here because Dr. Barnes told us, I do abdominal ultrasounds, I guess I was assuming in that practice, and she said, it's done in that practice, we have that available to them. Now I'm hearing that you really didn't have it available to you because the machine would not your abdominal or your ultrasound machine at that point would likely not detect this mass. And you answered in my other question in your statement that you didn't have training at that time. Was there another doctor there that day?
The only other doctor that had abdominal ultrasound training was Dr. Cease, and she was not available that day.
Okay.
So the only other doctor that would have been able to do that was Dr. Barnes, who only came once a week to the clinic.
So you were alone that day?
I was with another doctor who did not have ultrasound training.
Okay, so nobody could have done an ultrasound.
Correct.
Okay. So you did thoracic radiographs.
Yes.
If you had included the abdominal radiographs when you sent the thoracic ones, would that have been an additional charge?
Yes.
Okay. So based on the fact that you didn't palpate any mass and you had the radiograph, I'm curious as to why you didn't send that in, call the owner and say, I'd like to send it with my thoracic radiographs.
A lot of abdominal masses can't be palpated. And when Dr. Barnes told me she definitively saw a splenic mass on x-ray, I thought that it would not have been in the owner's best interest to repeat the abdominal radiographs that had just been performed within the last 10 days and send them to a radiologist. That would have cost an additional $800 to the owners, and when we just had a recent confirmation from another physician in the practice.
So the $800 would be for what?
So the $800 would be for the $300 for the additional radiograph plus the $500 radiology
interpretation. If you took more radiographs.
Correct, yes.
Okay. What if you had just included Dr. Barnes' radiograph in when you submitted
it? I didn't submit them. I read the radiographs myself.
If you were talking about the cost to the owner.
Can you repeat the question?
Okay.
Sorry.
So I'm curious as to why you didn't include Dr. Barnes' radiograph when you submitted the thoracic radiographs, because you didn't palpate a mass.
I did not submit the thoracic radiographs.
Oh,
I read
not.
Them myself.
Okay, well that answers that.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, so you were just doing a metastasis check? And
correct.
Okay, so they were not submitted either?
Correct.
Okay, thank you, that clears that up. So you reviewed the images from Dr. Barnes before, and I'm sure you've reviewed them now after. Do you see an abdominal mass?
I do not.
My questions. Thank you.
Just for clarity on that, you had reviewed the radiographs from Dr. Barnes prior to doing the surgery, or you trusted her judgment, then when you found a negative, you went back to the x-rays and looked at them?
The latter half. I trusted her judgment, I read her report and interpretation, but I did not review her radiographs myself.
Oh, okay.
Until after.
Yeah, that clarifies that. Thanks.
So could you just elaborate on, so Dr. Barnes told you that she did a full diagnostic workup for this splenic mass. What is that to you? What is a full diagnostic workup for a splenic mass?
So in light of our facility and our location and what we could have to offer, that full diagnostic would be blood work and abdominal x-rays. I did find some holes in her full diagnostic workup, which is why I did the additional x-rays for metastasis check. And I would have loved to have done an abdominal ultrasound, but unfortunately there wasn't a doctor there that day, nor was there an appropriate machine. That same abdominal ultrasound machine has been used to try to detect splenic masses and has missed them, which were then found on abdominal exploratory. We have since gotten a new machine because I asked my boss to get one, because I said we need to upgrade this and offer better medicine. So, yeah, did that answer your question?
Yes.
So the contradiction here is, we assume from Dr. Barnes that, yep, it's available, yep, we could have done it, I ran out of time. I would have wanted to do it, and now we're hearing that it was impossible to do. So you understand what we're dealing with here.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate when somebody lies under oath.
Okay. I don't have anything else.
And I just have one other one. So as far as, so you did not review the full medical record and diagnostics prior to the surgery?
I reviewed the full medical record as far as the soap notes, the radiology interpretation. I did do the rounds. The only thing that I did not do was do a second opinion interpretation on her radiographs because she was confident in her diagnosis and told me verbally that she saw it on x-ray.
And she did not have notes on an abdominal ultrasound.
She did not have notes on an abdominal ultrasound, no, because she did not perform one.
Right. But to you, that would be a full diagnostic workup?
No, I don't think that abdominal ultrasound is necessarily the standard of care in this case. Okay. It is something that I would like to offer in the future, though.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions? No? Okay. Dr. Maltese, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
I just want to touch on the issues of fact here. We were not completely aware about Dr. Barnes's misstatements. At the last hearing that we attended, it was new information to us that that there was this issue revolving that there was no communication between Dr. Barnes and Dr. Maltese, and that's why we're actually very grateful that there is an informal interview today, because we wanted that to be clear to the board that there was a communication prior to Dr. Maltese proceeding with the procedure. So we're very sorry that there was this miscommunication or misinformation provided in Dr. Barnes' testimony, but we're hopeful that, you know, you can hear out Dr. Maltese's testimony today and understand that there was actually communication prior to the procedure.
Thank you. Any other questions from board members? Okay. Being none, this concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. So, Dr. Nosley.
Okay. There's a lot to digest now.
So, one from the client, right, of the original complaint.
Yeah.
She wants to hold Dr. Barnes responsible because she's the senior vet, and
right,
not so much Dr. Maltese because she's a new grad, and, you know, that warrants some grace there, which we've kind of already established doesn't, being new or being seasoned doesn't necessarily change, right, the
right
standard
right
there. And again, this client does say that she sympathizes with the position that Dr. Maltese was in, which
sure,
obviously this, yeah, is terrible situation to be in, but it doesn't necessarily change the what this case was open for. So, I mean, where it's really, really very sweet, it didn't, you know, that isn't the reason that this case was
right
open, was
right
one senior and one's new. So that, yeah, just crappy situation, but since it was mentioned by the respondent in this case.
Yeah, we don't have one standard for new graduates versus other experienced veterinarians. So, so that gets to the issue of responsibility. Whose case really was this, or did it change? This isn't a case where one doctor is in the practice, say, I discovered this spleen, you're in surgery, so I'm handing this off to you to do surgery. This was a 10-day period, more diagnostics were done, and Dr. Barnes was not involved with the case afterwards, other than a possible communication, as we've heard. At this point, in my mind, a veterinarian becomes responsible for this case. it's now the respondent's case at this point, completely. Like I said, it was 10 days from the initial exam, so it wasn't just added to a surgery schedule that day. So a re-exam was indicated, certainly, and a physical exam was done by the respondent. And the finding by the respondent of the abdomen being normal and no organ enlargement is really my main concern in this case, that she didn't feel the mass, but yet I'm charged with doing an exploratory now. And this is now my responsibility, it's now my case. She took three views of the thorax and read those herself, we learned today. But I think I understood she didn't, at that point, review Dr. Barnes's radiograph, despite not feeling a mass. So all these things we talked about, what this case revolves around, as we found in the other, a failure to do diagnostics. And we have these contradictions about the ultrasound. Certainly that doesn't, he still could have had radiographic interpretation of some type, maybe another doctor in the practice, or if you don't feel a mass, I'm concerned I need something before I'm going in here on this surgery. Negative exploratories are certainly fine. But as we found in the other case, we felt that other diagnostics should have been done. And now we find out that one party is telling us it wouldn't have mattered anyway because the machine wouldn't have seen it. And the other, oh yeah, I did them all the time, yeah, diagnostically, and I can read them. And I would have done in this case. So it really comes down to credibility.
I feel like that's the crux of this case to me is whether or not reviewing the x-rays is below the standard of care.
Right.
That's really what it is, because everything else she did, I think she did right.
Mm-hmm.
And in hindsight, my guess is she's kicking herself for not reviewing those x-rays. But I will tell you that having done ultrasound solely for a couple years of my career and going from clinic to clinic, there were a lot of abdominal masses I did not feel that I found on ultrasound. Like, that happened all the time. So palpation, yes, it's a great skill, and yes, I think with more experience you get better and better at it, but what I would say is I do not rely solely on palpation to dictate whether I'm going to do an explore or what I'm going to do next.
And to that same end real quick, I don't rely on ultrasound in my hands. I rely on an ultrasound report because the pictures mean nothing to me.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I can be like, this looks like something. I can find a bladder. I can do certain things. But in my opinion, unless you're doing ultrasounds all the time, we're relying way too much on day practice veterinarians that don't really do this other than a couple times a week to actually find fine details that they're not going to be able to find. So we put way too much weight in ultrasounds as day practice vets, in my opinion.
Well, and I think it goes into this whole dilemma, which we could argue for hours, and we're not going to today. But when should a general practitioner not be trying to do something, right? And it's up to you to say, do I feel confident doing this or do I not? Well, we run into this all the time. Should she have sent the x-rays out? I don't know. If she felt comfortable reading her own x-rays, there's nothing below the standard care that says she can't read her own x-rays. There's nothing that says she can't do her own ultrasound. If she's taking classes, she's feel comfortable. So there's nothing that says that. I think as a veterinarian, it puts you a little bit more at risk because you don't have that report to fall back on, and then you're going to sit here and we're going to say, well, you should have sent it out. But to me, it's like that, I don't necessarily still believe that that falls below the standard of care. I think veterinarians need to have the ability to do things and run tests, and if it was something that another average veterinarian would have done and it wasn't like an obvious miss, then so I but again, we're going down a rabbit hole. I think the thing here is, she got a report, and she got her, and you can choose to believe or not believe what happened in the communication, but she got information that her said, this dog has a splenic mass. So in her mind, there was no reason to go back and look at the x-rays. We know this dog has a splenic mass. I'm moving forward with surgery. She went and did the thoracic one just to see about the vet check. So to me, in her mind, the thought never crossed to go back and look at it because it was an obvious, this is a splenic mass. And that's what she was told, and she went under that assumption, right? And that's where I say she's probably kicking herself now going, God, I wish I'd looked at those. But she didn't. And is that below the standard of care or not? I personally feel like it's a letter of concern, but I don't... I feel like she was in a really bad position with caregiver. And I tend to believe this testimony a little bit more than I believe the last testimony. So I think everybody has to judge that for themselves because there's no way of knowing. But I'm just saying I believe what happened here is exactly what was said.
And we have to be really careful, and I see this happening a lot in our profession, of this testing inertia where we don't make decisions, we just want test after test after test. I just had a friend's dog.
It's very costly.
What's that?
It's defensive medicine, and it's very costly.
It is, and it's costly to the patients. I just had a friend's dog that died. She had a personal dog that died of a hemangiosarcoma, so she got ultrasounds on her other dogs every 6 months. She did one, found a mass on a kidney, and the dog was doing fine. And between multiple different specialists, we went test after test after test after test. Well, the tumor ended up laying on the pancreas, causing pancreatitis, and the dog died of pancreatitis rather than taking out the kidney. So we get into this testing inertia of, we want this, we want this, we want this. And as we had testified, the abdominal exploratory is the gold standard still. It is the gold standard. So that is a diagnostic test, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I don't think not doing an ultrasound is a problem here.
Yeah.
It's an option. So is CT. So is MRI. There's a lot of different options we have, but I don't think that this was a wrong option to go to surgery based on the knowledge that we have at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. So even a letter of concern, I'm kind of like...
Right, but if you don't read the x-rays, you go to an exploratory.
I don't read x-rays when I read a report from a specialist.
No, I think
it wasn't
a report from a specialist.
Doesn't matter,
right.
It's a report from another doctor. I'm going to put the credence in that doctor, maybe. And is that wrong? Well, that's something I learned after the fact.
But it's still
you guys do have to talk to the same.
If you're a surgeon and you're a new doctor surgeon, all the time.
You've already established that doesn't matter.
It does matter psychologically. It doesn't matter to statute, but it doesn't matter to intent. And that's where I'm like, we can get into this. Testing, but the gold standard is still abdominal exploratory, so that is still a test. That's a valid test. And that's where it comes, that's the crux of this. Is that a valid test? It may not be a test you chose. You may have wanted ultrasound, but that is the gold standard test. So we can't say you did wrong.
Regarding the ultrasound, I just want to make the comment that, and assuming we had that ability in this practice, and we don't know that now, we have contradictory testimony. The other reason is, other disease. This is a splenic mass.
Mm-hmm.
I do an ultrasound now and the liver.
Yeah, but
and I do an ultrasound in the lymph nodes.
Yeah.
Now I've changed my mind about an exploratory. I need to discuss with the owner. I found other evidence of neoplasia outside of this dog's spleen. Let's talk about this. Are we going to do the exploratory?
But that goes into the testing inertia of, I used to do rat medicine, and there's arguments out there that you should take chest x-rays on every single rat before you go under anesthesia because most of them have some kind of nasty pneumonia that they're just hiding. Are we going to add another $400 onto every single rat surgery before we do it just because
that,
the chest
isn't
an
the
issue?
Standard of care.
Sometimes,
that
some,
isn't.
But it's a standard of care for a splenic mass.
No,
checking
that's what
every single
no,
test you can do
I'm
in the
saying,
world. So that's why I'm like, I understand what you're saying. You can find other things.
And
but
for some
if
owners,
we still
that might be a good
mass,
option. But
for sometimes it might
what
be
I would say is, I don't think that's the standard of care.
I don't think
it's the standard of care that in a case where you're highly suspicious of a splenic mass, you have to do an ultrasound to check other things. I don't even think it was necessarily that she had to do chest x-rays.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a good idea.
Yeah.
But I don't think it was, and I would have recommended it. But if we were sitting here and she went in and took out that splenic mass and 2 months later there was a mass in the chest and she hadn't done x-rays, I don't necessarily know that I would be saying that she's below the standard of care.
Yeah.
There are things that we're just not going to know, and that is just how it is.
And I agree.
I just don't understand.
If you have the x-rays, and again, if you didn't read blood work, right, and the pet had some significant liver and kidney function issues, that we wouldn't have an issue with that. Well, just because the doctor didn't write it in their report doesn't mean your blood work wasn't sitting there and you should have looked at it. So, again, where I understand the position that she was in and what she's saying, and she's a new veterinarian, that sucks. And she has learned a really crappy lesson here. But at the same time, the x-rays were there. This is not testing inertia and having to recharge people and run more tests. This was already done.
But the test
yeah, but
was
you,
there
you still
with
look
an
at the x-rays and
been
like, well, the doctor still thinks there's a splenic mass. I'm not necessarily seeing it. We still have to define and figure it out, because if she says there's not a splenic mass and there really is one and the other doctor was right, now she's wrong there. So it's like, you've got to come to a decision. But we've come to this crossroad of, do you do an ultrasound or do you explore?
Right.
It's the
and
same path.
Again,
that doesn't really matter.
But that's communication. That's not testing inertia. So you communicate with the client.
Well, we're saying we should have done this, we should have done this, we should have done these other things. And we already have the evidence or the testimony that says that we couldn't get an ultrasound. We'd have to push it off by another how many days? Now we're pushing it off again. That's
and
the testing inertia I'm coming into.
Now that splenic mass is going to open and bleed out.
So it's like sometimes you gotta fish or cut bait. And we're in this point. Surgery's wrong.
Yeah, I think so. At the point where the information that she was provided with, she acted correctly to correctly look forward to see if there was metastasis in the chest, which would have made surgery less indicated.
Yeah.
When that was still a green light, she performed the abdominal exploratory correctly and got the answer, the result, in a time of passion. So I think that, I would agree, that was the ultimate test and answered it all right there that day.
And if this would have been hemangiosarcoma, we know it would have metastasized, so we would have been dead a few months later anyway, most likely, and would that have been a problem even if we would have done chest x-rays or if we didn't see a mass or whatnot? It's like, we know what the end point would have been with a splenic mass in most cases anyway.
Yes.
So it's like, this is sometimes you can look at that palliative medicine of taking care of what you see in front of you. Even if there is a tumor in the lungs, that's going to take another 5 months to cause a problem, but we can have 5 months of a good life.
Right.
So I think that's kind of where we gotta look in veterinary medicine of quality of life, and I don't think there is a wrong decision here.
So Dr. Nazi, do you have a motion?
the metastasis usually is to the, it's a heart-based tumor, it's not a lung parenchyma. And
well, you can see the miliary pattern.
But my point was that it was still a good
tumor.
It's a heart-based mass. And usually if you find, on ultrasound, you find a splenic mass, you're going to go up and look to check for the heart-based mass. It's an automatic,
You've never seen metastasis
really,
for medicine.
Doesn't really matter in this case.
I see it in the heart.
I've seen lungs in the miliary pattern before.
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah, so the miliary pattern mostly.
But it goes.
It
doesn't.
All right. But either way, but you're looking at these different things. But again, was the wrong test done? Was the surgery wrong? And I can't say it's wrong.
Okay. So, great discussion. And I really appreciate the information we got from the respondent. And this is largely based on, for me, credibility. So I'm going to make a motion in case 2575 to dismiss with no violation, but I would issue a letter of concern to review all materials available that have been previously done and make a decision, therefore, on further diagnostics.
Second.
Motion and second. Roll call.
Dr. Byrne.
Aye.
Ms. Frost.
Aye.
Dr. James is an aye. Dr. Nosley.
Aye.
Ms. Solomon.
Aye.
Dr. Thompson.
Aye.
Dr. Wright.
Nay.
All right. Motion passes. The board finds, the board voted to find no violation and issue a letter of concern. Dr. Maltese, you will receive confirmation of the board's action shortly, and this concludes the informal interview. Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes. Deep sigh. Yes.
All right. So.